Now I see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it.
Welcome to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. Mike is a well-known keynote speaker, personal development expert, and the best-selling author of the book titled Focus on the Good Stuff and Be Yourself. Everyone else is already taken. Mike delivers life-enhancing speeches, seminars, and workshops throughout the United States and Canada, and has inspired tens of thousands through his speaking, coaching, and writing.
Hey, welcome to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins, here on Energy Talk Radio. So glad you chose to join us today. I'm so excited about today's show. One of my favorite people in the whole world is going to be joining us for the entire show. So I'm going to get right to it and actually introduce her. I'll let you know a little bit about her professionally, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about my relationship to her and then bring her on. Her name is Sark, and many of you are probably familiar with Sark, Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy. Is a best-selling author and artist with over 15 titles in print, including titles like Succulent Wild Woman, Change Your Life Without Getting Out of Bed, Eat Mangoes Naked, and Juicy Pens, Thirsty Paper, which just came out not too long ago. And over 2 million of her books are in print and have been sold. She's been teaching and leading extraordinary workshops for over 20 years. She's a transformational role model offering inspiration and guidance to people in their process of living more powerfully and authentically, and being more actively creative on a daily basis. Sark is also the founder and CEO of Planet Sark, a thriving business that creates innovative products and services to support empowered living. And as we're talking today, you should probably go check out planetsark.com, which I'll refer to a number of times. And before I bring her on, I just want you to know that Sark, or Susan, is a very dear friend of mine, and I'm so grateful that she's joining me here. I'm excited. I'm a little nervous, but I met Sark back... It was May of 1998, and I got a ticket for my then-girlfriend, Kara, and I to go to a Learning Annex class here in San Francisco in the Bay Area where we live to see Sark. And Kara was a big Sark fan and had a lot of her books. And truthfully, I wasn't all that familiar with Sark's work, and I thought I was just being a good boyfriend and very open-minded and wonderful and getting a ticket. And anyway, we go to this workshop, and it was one of the most pivotal experiences of my life, particularly in terms of my growth and really starting the work that I've been doing now for almost the last 10 years, because it was just a few months after I had ended my baseball career and had hurt my arm and was really trying to figure out what I want to do with the rest of my life. And being at that event that night and what Sark was talking about in terms of really expressing our creativity and being bold and being human and being authentic and being okay with all of it, like something unlocked inside of me. And it was a personal transformation, but also I ended up connecting with Susan that night and some of the people that worked with her. And over the next few years, not only did I read a lot of her books and really engage in her work, but we got to know each other personally. And I got to not only learn a lot from her in terms of what her work provides, but then get to know her personally. And she became a mentor to me. And so much of what I've been able to do with my own work is a function of some of the inspiration that I got from Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy, who I'm so glad to welcome to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. Susan, thanks for joining me.
Oh, Mike, that was just so beautiful.
Yes, well, thank you for being you and everything that you do, that you share, that I'm so glad to be here talking to you, and we get to just have this conversation. And, you know, today's show, we want to, you know, we talk about different things here, Susan, on the show, about, you know, getting real, being authentic, being real and vulnerable, which is what your work is so much about. And specifically today, we want to talk a little bit about grief, which I know you and I have talked about personally in terms of a road to transformation. In fact, Sark has a book that she's working on. Now, Sark, when does it come out?
It's going to come out next fall.
Okay.
And the working title is Glad for the Grief, Transforming Grief and Loss into Gift and Opportunity. And I want to really emphasize that it's about losses of all kinds and not only death. So, and I also want to emphasize that I'm not always glad. And in fact, I'm considering putting a subtitle into the title. So it would say glad for the grief, and underneath glad, it would say not always glad.
Yeah. I hear you. And so what's the inspiration for this? I know you have some workshops coming up about this particular topic, and we'll get more into that. But what inspired you to write this glad, not always glad, for the grief?
Now I'm seeing the awkwardness of the new proposed title.
No, hey, well, it's good. We'll work it out here and see what seems to make sense, right?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was, you know, I've experienced a lot of loss, as everyone who has lived has.
Yes.
And I have always, for a really long time, been engaged in what I would call a transformation process. I really believe that when we can transform whatever it is that's happened to us and alchemize it into something that's good and better, that will serve us, you know, always.
Yeah.
And I did have, you know, my dad died, and then my mom died, and then my cat died.
Mm.
And so those deaths really led me into exploring loss more deeply, because, of course, grief comes not just with death, but with all kinds of loss.
Yeah.
And they were magnificent teachers to me, those deaths and those losses. And specifically speaking about death for a moment, you know, I call it gifts of death, which happens to spell God.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so great. Gifts of death, God.
Yeah. And, you know, during the grief processes, which, by the way, I'm still in, my younger brother, Andrew, just said to me, I wish someone had told me that I would be still sad about our mom dying 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And because people continue to believe that healing from or grieving happens like a ladder.
Yeah.
Like you climb the rungs, and then a certain amount of time goes by, and then you're fine.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we know that healing happens in a spiral, mm-hmm. and it happens in layers.
Yeah.
And, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who I knew before, you know, of course, she came up with the wonderful stages of death. But what she didn't talk about with the stages, I don't think enough, is that they come around and around and around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the stages, let's just review them for anyone who doesn't know, but denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance.
Mm.
And you can start out in denial, and you can be in denial in some other way 4 years, 5 years later.
Yeah.
And then you can be angry all over again.
Yeah.
And then you can have a new level of acceptance, and then you can think, well, I'm doing much better now. And all of a sudden you do what I did the other day. I stepped off of a... I went out of a door and just fell crashing to the ground.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, I was fine, but it was like, you know, in that moment I was in a grief episode and I couldn't see where I was walking.
Mm.
And grief episodes, they are woven. I really believe they are woven into us. They become part of us.
Yeah. Well, and why do you think it is that so many of us, and I know this is true for me at times too, think of it as that linear process and sort of expect, well, it's going to take a few months and then you should be back to normal, you know, whatever that is. What's that
about? Because it's very tempting to believe that. Doesn't that sound better than having layers and spirals and years of grief and having it woven into you?
I guess it does.
I mean, that's why people keep writing these books, you know, 7 steps, 10 steps.
Right.
You know, I people say to me, well, do you have any book with steps? And I'm like, no.
No steps.
I don't have any steps.
Because life doesn't work that way.
I
right?
do. Yeah, my book is more like chutes and ladders, if you played that game as a child.
Absolutely. I can totally relate to that. I think, yeah, and it's messy, right? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, and here you are 6 years later, and it's like if you go have a conversation with someone, boy, I'm really missing my mom. People don't even often know how to respond to that.
No, they don't, and it scares them, and especially people whose parents aren't dead.
Yeah.
And I remember when Jupiter, my cat, it was my first experience of unconditional love in my life, and I absolutely thought that when he died, I would just die.
Mm.
And I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, I was convinced that I would just die. Like, he would die, and then I would just die right next to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it really gave me such an experience. He gave me such an experience of unconditional love that I didn't realize that that would be part of me.
Mm.
So when he died, I was actually stronger and better than I had ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. But people don't know, you know, and it's funny. People think they don't know what to say. And in my book, I do a whole section on what to say because people are convinced they don't know what to say. And let's just tell them right now that saying nothing is the worst thing they can say.
Yeah. So what can people say? What kind of things can people say in the face of someone else's grief?
Well, the biggest thing to realize is it's not the words that you say. Those are meaningless.
Yes.
It's the energy.
Yeah.
So the energy with which you approach the person, if you approach someone with authenticity and love and compassion, that's what they will feel. They won't hear you saying, "I'm so sorry about the death of your mother."
Yeah.
So it just to remember that we all have that energy within us. You don't need to be a qualified expert to have that energy of compassion and love.
Yeah.
And to offer it.
And I think, you know, gosh, so often myself in going through grief and loss myself, I find that I get angry at times as part of the stages, right? But also at people's inability to engage. But I think at a more compassionate level, it's just scary for a lot of us to go there.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes people don't know how to say, you know, "Oh, that's too deep for me," or "I don't know what to say right now. So I'm completely at a loss."
Yeah.
And I know you're at a loss, so let's just be at a loss together.
Yeah.
The other one that people do, and this is one that I, you know, I think this is really common and easy to fall into, is to ask how old the person was.
Yes.
And whatever the answer, especially if it's, let's say the person's over 75, somehow that's better.
Yes.
Because they lived a more full life, supposedly.
Right.
And so... So then, and then if they're young, there's a whole nother thing that goes along with that.
Yeah.
I mean, people make judgments, you know, they do kind of a quick assessment because they're trying. They're really trying for the best thing. They're trying to help or they're trying to think of something.
Right.
They don't know what to say. And so I really, and there is a lot of fear. And, you know, I sort of insist on people saying something. I mean, I will follow them.
Yeah.
I will say, I just can't, I'm not willing to just let it go, like, "Oh, I miss my mom. Oh, well, it's a nice sunset." You know, I'm going to say, "Do you remember me talking about my mom?" I'm going to ask them a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, "I'd like to talk about how I miss my mom. Can I tell you a story about my mom?"
Mm.
And engage that person.
Yeah. Well, and it's so beautiful, Sark, because what, I mean, so much of what your work is about and all the 15 books and the posters and all, your, I mean, anyone listening, you got to go to planetsark.com if you're not already there looking at all the wonderful things that Susan has created over the years. It's really about giving ourselves permission. I mean, that's what I've always taken away from your many, many books, giving ourselves permission to be who we are and be where we are, whether we think it's great or not, whether it's all put together or all fallen apart, but just like, you know, being okay. And there seems to be something within grief that sort of pushes us there to that authentic place, whether we want to or not, don't you think?
Yes. I think it's literally guaranteed to bring anyone to their knees.
Mm.
And again, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross had a great saying that was, "I'm not okay and you're not okay and that's okay."
I love that.
I
love that. That's perfect. I'm going to write that down. I got to put that up somewhere.
I know.
Well, if you're just joining us, we have a fantastic guest here on Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins, Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy, or Sark, as many of you probably know her. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. And Sark, when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about what are some things people can do for themselves and take care of themselves as they're going through whatever kind of grief they may be going through.
Absolutely.
So we'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins here on Energy Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Energy Talk Radio's informative and inspirational shows, Shifting Global Consciousness. Our fun and inspirational talk shows brighten your day, while show hosts and sponsors enjoy the experience of creating a more peaceful, joyful, and beautiful world together with our listeners. 30% of the net proceeds from Energy Talk Radio go to charities. This month, we are sponsoring the Tripura Foundation. For nearly 20 years, the Tripura Foundation has been committed to abolishing extreme poverty. Their programs seek to eradicate hunger, educate children, and empower people, ending the cycle of extreme poverty once and for all. For more information, go to the TriporaFoundation.org. That's TRIPURA. Please contact us with your favorite charitable organization by emailing us at info@energytalkradio.com. Energy Talk Radio, fun and inspirational talk radio.
Listen to The Frankie Boyer Show, an award-winning health show. Frankie has attracted an impressive list of thousands of guests on her show, such as Dr. Andrew Weil, Deepak Chopra, Suzanne Summers, and Dr. Wayne Dyer. The resulting conversations are insightful, inspiring, and lively. Frankie is naturally curious and asks the questions her audience wants answered. Frankie has added a new lifestyle magazine program. Imagine, a diverse and broad range of topics, from money, movies and celebrity news, timely male and female issues, to longevity and health, spirituality, and the environment, all with the inquisitive, thought-provoking, and authentic Frankie Boyer vibrancy. Visit the schedule page to learn when you can listen to The Frankie Boyer Show on EnergyTalkRadio.com. Tune in to Life Without Limitation with Markandeya, where we explore stories of miracles, wellness, prosperity, and enlightenment through sound meditation and transformational thought processes. The show is based on the teachings of spiritual teacher Dattatreya Shiva Baba, the YouTube guru, who inspired best-selling author Dr. Wayne Dyer to write Manifest Your Destiny. The show is hosted by Markandeya, who experienced miraculous recovery from HIV and AIDS over 7 years ago and survived a major heart procedure without anesthesia through meditations taught to him by Dattatreya Shiva Baba. Experience a life without limitation here on Energy Talk Radio.
And now more of Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Robbins. Thanks for tuning in to Energy Talk Radio. We are having a wonderful conversation with best-selling author and inspirational artist, Sark, Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy, also my dear friend. And we're talking about her book that she's working on that'll be out next fall. And the working title is Glad for the Grief, Transforming Grief and Loss into Gift and Opportunity. I just love, Sark, that you're writing about this.
You know, I know, me too.
Yeah, I mean, how has it been? So, I mean, you're in the midst of it, right? So what's your personal process been like? How's it been showing up in your life all over the place?
Well, I've actually been writing it for a few years, and actually it was the first book that was really not attractive to publishers.
Sure.
And this was some years back. This was when loss was not as in the forefront as it is now.
Right.
And I was told that it could be depressing, or that people might think it was depressing. And I just thought that was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard.
Yeah.
But I also understood, because they were coming from a perspective where if you don't transform and work with grief, it is depressing.
It is.
And so, you know, I've been so inspired by this process, because it's really, I invented a whole process. It takes you through the losses of your life.
Mm.
And how do you then, and then I do a transformation process where you work with each loss and you transform it.
Mm.
Into material that you can use, not just material, but into what you can use now, and what's the new story, and what can you take from what happened, and how can it inform you, and how can it, where's the buoyancy,
right?
And what can be explored, what can be discovered, and it was an amazing process to go through. For me.
I bet.
And then I realized I wanted to share it in workshops, which I've been doing. I've been teaching it for about a year. And so all the people in those workshops, it's totally inspired me all over again, because a lot of people get stuck in grief.
Yeah.
And they stay there and they keep repeating the same sad story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with repeating a sad story. It's about if you never change at all and you cling to, people cling to sad stories and they keep remanufacturing.
Yeah.
And grief then is not moving.
Mm.
Grief then becomes stagnant and it becomes a reason. Well, you know, I, as you know, I've written a lot about this in my books, but I was someone who was molested by an older brother,
mm-hmm.
and that incest created tremendous losses.
Sure.
And yet if I, you know, and there was a certain time, period of time that I had to keep telling that story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I really have transformed that story. I've forgiven my brother. I've moved on. And yes, it's part of me and part of my experience of something that happened to me, but it is not me.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to offer a process to people where they could keep moving, which does not mean trying to feel better faster, by the way.
Right. Oh, man. That's a big one, particularly in our, you know, give me a pill, give me a four-step process I can do to be done with this tomorrow because I have a meeting and I don't have time for this phenomenon,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes, and there's a lot of support in society for that, like you just said.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that it will come and get you if you don't do the work.
You know, it's so amazing you say that, too, because I think, you know, with death, there at least are a few ritualistic things that we walk through. You know, there's the wake and the funeral or what, depending on our religious tradition. And, you know, and there's a time period, although it lasts very short. But, you know, and people, again, they're off to their life and it's fine unless it happened to be their spouse or their child or their parent or something, right? But it seems for other things. And I remember this years ago when I had a very painful loss in a relationship. We weren't engaged. We weren't married. We weren't, right? And people seemed to think, well, you should just be over that. It wasn't like your wife or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, but the pain is still real. You know what I mean? And then I actually did start to feel guilty, like maybe I shouldn't feel this bad this long. There's something wrong with me.
Well, yes. Because, again, society doesn't support the length of time or the depth of process.
Yeah.
You know, it's thought of as you know, dwelling or you're obsessed or,
right.
You know, something like this. I'll tell you, after Jupiter died, a friend's father was visiting me, and it wasn't very long after he died, and he came over to visit with my friend, and he walked into my living room. He said, so, have you replaced that cat yet?
Oh.
And I just said to him, well, it's funny that you say that because my mother died and I haven't replaced her yet either.
Wow.
I mean, I was very sarcastic. I was mad.
Sure.
But
he got the point.
Well, he kind of did, but then I'll tell you, he came back the next year and said it again.
Oh, man.
But this time I was able to transform it.
Mm.
And you know what I learned? I suddenly realized that it was his way of asking me if I had enough love.
Yeah.
And it was so striking to me. I was like, oh, he doesn't know any other way to say, do you have enough love?
Yeah.
So I said to him, gosh, Ben, thanks for caring about me. I do have enough love. I'm seeing a wonderful person, and I have a lot of love in my life.
Mm.
And I'm not ready to get another cat, but thanks for checking.
Yeah.
And that story was just put to rest.
Wow.
Instead of, oh, my friend's father is insensitive and terrible.
Sure. Sure. And for you to, you know, obviously the work you had done in your own grief, you could hear it different the next year, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Another season. And another example, my mother died 6 years ago on October the 8th, and I had completely forgotten until a friend just said to me yesterday, how are you feeling about the anniversary? And I thought, what anniversary?
Mm.
And it was amazing to me that I had forgotten that.
Yeah.
And it, you know, but again, in the natural course of time, if I had tried to, you know, oh, I don't know why I keep remembering her anniversary.
Right.
You know, but I think, you know, there's just losses of all kinds have all kinds of anniversaries, and we're always, it's like the wonderful opportunity is to transform those losses and then use those new insights and be able to respond in those new ways.
Yeah.
And make room for more joy and more love that's going to be coming. Before the break, you asked me about talking about what can people do.
Right.
And I think the biggest thing people can do is to really live in a self-loving, exquisitely self-caring way for themselves.
Mm.
I absolutely know that it's the foundation of everything. And let's be sure to define what self-love is, what I mean by it. I mean the purest form of love for oneself so you can love others more.
Mm.
And I'm not talking about narcissism or self-absorption or selfishness. You know, some years ago, I was in New York, and I went into an elevator in a hotel, and there was a man there who was just beaming with great energy. I mean, he was just filling, it was just, like almost fell out of the door when I came in, and I said, wow, I said, you have the best energy. And he said, thank you, I am so in love with myself. And I literally thought, can he say that?
Yeah. It's
like, and then my next thought was, why am I not saying that?
Yeah.
And so I started a real study and practice of self-love. And what I started the very next morning was something that came to me in a dream. And I thought, what about starting every day by hugging myself?
Mm.
And I felt really embarrassed the next day when I woke up and had that idea. And then so I started hugging, and it felt kind of stiff and artificial, and I felt embarrassed. And it has now grown into sometimes 10 minutes of self-hugging and rolling around in bed and kissing my shoulders and saying endearments. And by the time I get out of bed, I feel like 10 good friends have hugged me.
Wow.
All my endorphins have raised, and I become what I call a full cup of love, mm. ready to share the overflow with others.
I love that. You know, and you just got to know, Susan, that David, my engineer, and I are both in here. We're hugging ourselves and looking at each other through the window and laughing. But it's so great. As soon as you started to say that, we both instinctively were like, ooh, yeah, that feels good. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah. And a lot of people, and this especially applies during grieving time, mm. walk around like a half-empty cup,
yeah.
trying to get filled
yeah.
by other people or things or food or text messages or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And when we fill ourselves, you know, as you know, I wrote Succulent Wild Woman.
Yes.
A succulent is a plant that nourishes itself. It feeds itself water, so it's self-sustaining.
Mm.
And so that's what we can do with self-love. We can feed ourselves the things that we say we want from others so that we can become that full cup of love. And then a grieving process becomes very different.
Absolutely. And, you know, whether we're in grief or not, why do you think it's hard for us to do that? Because I know, as much as I know that and talk to people about it, it's right? We teach best what we most need to learn, as you know, right? But why is it difficult for us to love ourselves, care for ourselves in that way?
Well, again, we have very little to no support. We were all taught to love ourselves. Even the Bible says, love thyself as thy neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not given permission. We're not given examples or reminders. And we are starting to have living examples of self-loving people. But it's only now. And I'm so excited about that. And by the way, if you want to close out the show, I can, when we're ready to end, I can sing a self-love song.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, we got a ways to get there, but that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that. And it'll all be recorded, so for posterity we'll
have. Yes.
Well, and you know, I know how committed you are to self-love in your own life, to self-care and for people, and you know, one of the things I was excited to see on your website is you have this e-program called Sark's Awesome Anytime Adventure, and tell us a little bit about that, because that has to do with self-care and taking care of
yourself. Oh, exactly. Self-care, surprise, and wonder. Well, you know, I have a big thing about adventure. I call it adventure amnesia, and it's where people know that something's missing, but they don't remember what it is, and it's adventure. And yeah. I'm talking about tiny adventures, close to home, adventures that don't cost any money. That's why I created the program. Mm. It's a 30-day self-paced program with a daily audio from me. It's a daily adventure dot. And there's audio, and then there's art every day to download that you can put up around your studio or in your house.
Really? Cool.
Yeah, and then there's journal prompts, and there's like a travel guidebook, like an adventure guidebook that takes you through the whole thing. It's just fantastic.
Nice. And if people go to planetsark.com, they can find that?
Oh, yeah. And it's still on sale through the end of October. And then it's also very well priced after that. But you can read endorsements by other people. You can see samples of it. You know, it's fantastic. I'm so excited to have started my e-programs and products that I've dreamed of for at least 15 years.
Yeah. Well, it's great to just be able to have, I mean, one of the things, Sark, I've always admired about you specifically and your work and the people, you know, and anyone listening who's a Sark fan or familiar with Sark's work, you know, people are so, I say this in a good way, it's like a cult in a good way going to your events, because people are so into it and such like-minded, you know, open, creative, expressive people who are, you know, just modeling a lot of the stuff that you teach.
Well, and let me just say, I mean, the Sark energy was delivered to me via a series of dreams I had all those years ago in the 1980s.
Mm.
And I realize now that I'm like a representative of the Sark energy.
Mm.
The Sark energy is in everyone.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, I'm a representative.
Mm.
So it's wonderful because everybody wants color and adventure and eccentric, original, rare lives.
Yeah.
And they deserve them.
Absolutely. And, you know, many people listening, if you haven't picked up any of Sark's books or read them over the years, again, go to planetsark.com and you'll get a sense of the books and her work. And the way the site is laid out is exactly the way that Sark's books are laid out. And oftentimes when I refer your books to people or recommend them, I'll say, go into the self-help section. You'll find them. You'll think it's a children's book at first because it's so colorful. It's so wonderful. You think that can't be for me because I'm a responsible adult. No, but it is. And, you know, the way that it's all colors and they're not typeset. She actually writes and draws everything in there in a way that's beautiful. And it's just so much fun.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and they do, you know, people sometimes, and then if they haven't read the books, they don't understand that it's, it really is light and shadow together.
Yeah.
And they think it, you know, I tell people when I talk, I say, you know, you should know something. I want to tell you something right away that mindlessly positive people annoy me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so good, you know, especially for people listening, by the way, to Energy Talk Radio, because there's so many of us, and I'll put myself in this category, you know, that we're all following the law of attraction and everything is positive and perfect and wonderful and harmonious. And it's like, hold on, time out a second. That's just not real. You know, I don't know those people. I mean, I can pretend to be one of them, but I'm not.
And no one is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And so, you know, let's admit when we're crabby. Let's admit, like, I'm not listening to you right now. Let's admit your grief scares me. Let's admit.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I think, you know, so these gifts of grief you're talking about in this book you're working on and the workshops you've been doing on it, I think there's so much of that. Because what else have you found in your own process?
Maybe that's the title, Gifts of Grief.
Mm.
Okay, I'm writing that down.
Oh, I really like that one. I just had to say.
Oh, that was David. He just jumped in. You know what? And I just didn't. I was just saying that off the top of my head. I thought that's what it was called. So hey.
I love that. Now the acronym is GOG.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I really find acronyms to be a secret language.
That's great. Oh, I love that. And, you know, David, my engineer here, had raised his hand a while back, and I didn't call on him, but he has a question, I think. Do you still have a question, David?
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about my own experience, and I was thinking about how there's this sort of a feeling like I'm not going to be able to truly respect or appreciate the relationship that I had with that person if I stop grieving.
Mm. Yeah, so what a beautiful thing to say, David.
Thanks.
I know that. I'm so glad you said that.
Hmm.
And it's not true.
Really? Yeah. I hope so.
No, it's not true. But it feels very seductive to believe. You know, I think people are afraid to be happy if they're grieving.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. Like how to, because I have experienced for myself that I can feel different emotions at the same time. Like I could be in a state of, you know, grief about something I've lost and then watch a funny movie and laugh and I'll be like, oh, I'm not supposed to laugh, you know?
Yes, yes. Oh, and that's really well said. You know, I had a wonderful informal teacher years ago. I was walking down the hill in San Francisco behind a woman and her daughter, her very young daughter. And the woman was saying, oh, so you're sad that you didn't go to the birthday party, but you're mad that your other friend went, and then you're glad that we're going to go get ice cream right now.
Mm.
And it was this wonderful teaching of feelings and how we can have many feelings simultaneously and in close proximity to each other. I mean, I think there's a lot of humor in death,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't get discussed very often.
No. It's again, it's like it's taboo. And I think Susan, you and I may have even had this conversation a few years back when my dad died, And we were talking and you asked me, how am I doing? And I said, well, today I'm actually glad he's dead.
Yes.
And you said, wow, I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, that was part of my process and even still is now, 8-9 years since he died. Like, there are days I'm like, yeah, I'm glad he's not around. He kind of got on my nerves and, you know, and actually being okay with that. But even right after, but that's so like sacrilegious and taboo often.
Oh, I know. And it's funny because I didn't realize that we both have been saying that, because I say that and people are just stunned. You know, they say, oh, when did your mother die? And I said, oh, she's so glad to be dead. And they literally almost fall off their chair. I mean, they're just in a state of shock. Like, well, and there's this saintliness that comes upon the dead people.
Yes.
Like, they're dead and now they're saints.
Yeah, which is ridiculous, right?
Well, and I'll tell you, I had all these tapes. I tape recorded my mom's voice. And I had all these tapes. I have all these tapes of her. And periodically I listen to her voice, you know, and I did all kinds of wonderful recordings, like her telling me how to load the dishwasher, and, you know, we'd be on a car ride, and I did this for a period of years, which I recommend, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you, she was on a tape the other day, and she was telling a story, and she was boring me and annoying me. And I thought, I can just turn her off.
How great, you know?
And she would love that. I mean, she would say, oh, are you still sad? And I have a theory that all the dead people, by the way, are up there kind of, or down there, or wherever they are, looking from other dimensions and sort of smiling and nodding, saying, yes. Oh, they're still sad.
Yes.
Don't they know?
Yeah.
We're so free.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wow, this is... We're going to take another quick break here, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Sark, Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy, one of my favorite people in the whole world, and we're talking about some of the gifts of grief. And when we come back from the break, we want to talk about some more of those, and again, additional things that people can do to really care for themselves in whatever process of grief they may be going through. Thanks for listening to us here on Energy Talk Radio. You're listening to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins, and we'll be right back.
Where are the dreams that we once had? This is the time to bring them back. What would the promise say? Caught on the tips of our tongue. Do we forget or forgive? There's a whole lot of life waiting to live when one day.
Energy Talk Radio, fun and inspirational radio that makes a difference.
Thanks for listening to EnergyTalkRadio.com. If you would like to listen to any show on demand, please go to our shows page, find the program you're looking for, and click on the View All Shows button. There you can play any show on any device that plays MP3s. We hope you enjoy this convenient feature, knowing that you're making a difference just by listening.
Join us for an eye-opening experience on Sex, Love, and Spirit. Sex, Love, and Spirit is hosted by Dr. Stephen Jay and Kypris Astor Drake, MSMA. We are the co-founders of YabYummy.com, an international internet-based love and intimacy school.
Sex, Love, and Spirit combines shamanic practice and sacred intimacy practices, sometimes labeled as Tantra, to share with you ways to cultivate peace, love, and passion in yourself, and to bring that into your relationships with others and with life as trust, love, and desire.
Come join us on the show or at our website, www.yabyummy.com, where you will find great information to enhance your own life, both in and out of the bedroom.
Yeah. So come on, get higher.
than desire, and the swing of your hips just pull me down hard and drown me in love. So come on, get higher.
Energy Talk Radio, your source for fun and inspirational radio, right here at www.energytalkradio.com. Tell everybody about the new Energy Talk Radio.
Galileo's head was on the block. The crime was looking up the truth. And as the bombshells of my daily fears explode, I try to trace them to my youth.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Let's Get Real with me, Mike Robbins. I'm so excited to be joined today by Sark, best-selling author and inspirational artist. Sark has written wonderful books like Succulent Wild Woman, Change Your Life Without Getting Out of Bed, Eat Mangoes Naked, that's a great one, Juicy Pens, Thirsty Paper is the most recent one that came out, and is in the process of writing a fantastic book that we've been talking about. It'll be out next fall, and the working title is Glad for the Grief, Transforming Grief and Loss into Gift and Opportunity. And if you're not already on planetsark.com, go there while you're listening, because there's so many great opportunities to find out more about Sark's work and her workshops and where she's going to be. And as you can see at planetsark.com, a lot of the work that she does and books that she's written focus on, obviously, personal growth and awareness, but also really expressing our creativity in the world and expressing ourselves through writing or art or whatever it may be. And, of course, this new book that I'm so excited you're working on and really looking forward to reading and sharing with a lot of people about grief, Susan. So thanks again for being here.
Oh, thank you. And I love Energy Talk Radio. What a good energy it is.
Isn't that cool?
I love the music.
Yeah, I know. Great songs and music. And it's a lot of fun. It feels good to be here. So we've been talking, you know, about some of these gifts of grief and, you know, taking care of ourselves in the process of grieving whatever stage of grief we may be in, whatever kind of loss we may be going through. And you were talking a bit about it being fun, and it can be funny, it can be inspiring in addition to, you know, sad and painful. What are some other of the main gifts you think that we can take from the grief process?
Yeah, great, great subject. I wrote a chapter called What's Good When Your Parents Die? And it felt almost blasphemous to write that.
Exactly.
But I realized the people that said to me, oh, I don't know what I would ever do if my parents die. And I remember that's how I used to be about my cat. Well, he just won't die.
Right.
And I can barely restrain myself from saying, well, they are going to die. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
But I understand, too, because sometimes we're not ready and it's not the time. But I did create something to help myself, and I would love to share it. It's a process people can do.
Yeah.
And I call it a three-part harmony.
Hmm.
And the other way I call it is mad, wise, glad pages.
Mm.
And so the first part is just what it sounds like, mad. Like, what are you mad about? And this, by the way, works for all kinds of things, not just grief and loss. I pretty much use this process on a daily basis. but I encourage people, you write at the top, you know, I feel mad, worried, scared, frustrated, anxious about. And then you make a really fast list, and I encourage you to be really dramatic. And, you know, write things like, if my neighbor slams the door one more time, I'm going to, I don't know what, you know. I mean, just write, so it's a whole expression of anything that's upsetting you, from the smallest thing to the largest thing. And you literally write until you don't have another thing in your head that you can think of that's upsetting. And often that's enough to shift the energy, by the way.
Yeah.
And you can fold that up and address it to the universe, or whoever you think is larger than you, and put it aside. Now, obviously the thoughts will return, but they will come back with a different flavor because there's been something that's happened to them. They've been exposed. They've been, literally an alchemy has started to take place.
Mm.
And the second part of the harmony is to take that list that you've written, the mad pages, and now call on the part of you that's your wise self. And for people that don't know they have a wise self, everyone has one. So it's a process of asking, what's the wisest part of you? And that's the part of you that that is pure positive energy. It's the part of you that's supportive, unconditional, that always knows you're good, you're doing good things, and will provide perspectives and reminders and all kinds of all those good things. And you literally take your list of things you were mad or upset about, and you let your wise self answer in writing each of those items.
Mm-hmm.
And at the first, if you haven't done this process, or if you're not familiar with your wise self, it may take a little bit of time, but just so you know, I can do this entire process in 10 minutes.
Mm.
So, and what happens is, it starts, I've been doing it for about 4 years now, it starts creating, the wise self is speaking all the time now, not just when you ask it, not just when you call on it. You, in many cases, don't need to write things down because you're already accessing that wise self.
Mm-hmm.
But after you do this process, you often then feel very peaceful, and you feel like the mad thoughts are just that. They were mad thoughts. And you can then burn or recycle or throw away the mad pages, and then you save the wise voice pages. I like to write at the top of the paper, wise voice gladly speaks.
Mm.
And the wise voice is always so glad to speak. And I use all kinds of endearments, like, oh, darling, you are doing so well. You're such a darling. And I see you growing. And I write all kinds of things. And the wise self has a lot to say.
Yeah.
And she writes, the part of me writes poems and says all kinds of things. Mm. So then I save those and reflect on them later. And then that leads us to the glad pages. And many people are already keeping gratitude journals or gratitude pages, which are great. And I do that too. And I just happen to call them glad pages because I am a representative of Pollyanna.
Mm.
And for those of you that don't know, and I have a chapter in my book now, the new book called The Real Story of Pollyanna.
Mm.
Because Pollyanna got a really completely misconstrued.
Yes.
And people said, oh, you're just such a Pollyanna. And it's meant that you're just like a bubblehead, like you're a positive bubblehead that doesn't look at the real story.
Mm.
And the truth is, Pollyanna was a little girl. Of course, it's a story. It's a book, but it really is a fabulous metaphor. But she was a little girl whose parents died, and she was sent to live in a town with an aunt and uncle she didn't know or like. And she was lonely and sad, and she created something she called the Glad Game. And she would go around the town and basically transform every situation she came across.
Wow.
And she was a living example of joy and love.
Wow.
And so I have a button in the book that's from 1913 that says, Pollyanna, be glad. So in the three-part harmony, you fill pages with things you're glad about. And you're in a great position to do it because you've written what you're mad about.
Mm.
And then you've written what the wise voice knows. And so the path is completely clear to fill yourself with gladness.
Yeah.
And then be that full cup of love and then, you know, find a place to share it.
I love that. So, you know, as we're sitting here, David and I are both like writing notes down. Oh, that's good. Write that down. You know, I'm like, wow, I want to do that. Can I, you know, but it's so, the thing I love about that, and thank you for sharing that process, is it takes us through the stages of life. You know, it's not like, again, we were talking before the break of this sort of, everything's great. Everything's fine. I'm happy. I'm abundant. I'm wonderful. You know, and that's the place we love to live when we can go there authentically.
Yes.
But not just because that's what we're supposed to. And we read some book that said only say positive things. And, you know, that's just not the reality of life, particularly when we're dealing with grief. So
well,
I just,
yes. And there's a disowning then of what we're actually feeling, which is the biggest disservice we can ever do to ourselves and to others.
Yeah.
Because then we're saying that other people should also only speak positively.
Right. Which just, it's just not how things work. I mean, I love that though, the mad, wise, and glad pages. And in terms of people really engaging in this with you specifically, tell us a little bit. I know you have some workshops coming up in Kansas City, in Phoenix this year, like this fall. This new book will be out next fall. So how can people be a part of those and really engage with you if they want to transform their grief?
Go to Planet Stark to the ecstatic events section and see where I'm going to be. And then you can also consider, I have my own blend of, I call it it's my own unique blend of therapy and mentoring and coaching, and so of course it had to have a Sarkian name, so I call it Couching.
I love that.
And it takes place on the phone, and it I'm loving working with people. I work with clients all over the world, and I know absolutely that the greatest changes take place with a relaxed mind and body.
Yes.
So that's how I work. And on the website, they can find out all about Couching and what it costs and what to do and how to apply.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Couching, that's perfect.
I know, Couching.
Now a bunch of coaches out there like me are going, ooh, damn, that's a good one. You know? But no, it's really great, you know, because for everybody listening, again, you're probably already on planetsark.com sitting in front of your computer. If you happen to be listening to this on your iPod or some other place, when you get in front of your computer, go to planetsark.com. Because like I said earlier, it's just so filled with Sark's energy, with all the books and all everything that she does, but it's all there. And I'm just looking, I'm actually looking at the website myself right now. And I'm so excited because this workshop you're doing in Phoenix is actually at the Celebrate Your Life conference, where you'll be speaking with lots of other wonderful people that I'm sure lots of us know and love, Wayne Dyer and Cheryl Richardson and people like that. So,
it's the most fabulous conference. And let's just say it, it's a wonderful opportunity because it's in your face from the moment you arrive. Celebrate your life.
Yeah.
And immediately you're confronted with ways you may not be celebrating.
Exactly. And I think, Susan, I appreciate so much about the conversation we've been having and about you and all your work and all your books, the way that you do really keep it real, because I think there's a tendency for a lot of us on this path of growth and discovery. Yeah, we go to celebrate our life and think, oh no, I'm not. Or, you know, we read something or hear something and immediately it shows those places where we don't feel like we're really being our best self, but that's part of the process, right?
Absolutely. Think of the dentist when they used to give you those little pink things that you chewed and it showed where you weren't brushing. And, you know, I still get mad when they show me where I'm not brushing, because I think, you know, a lot of people are practicing perfectionists, and
yes,
myself included, high achievers, you know, wanting to be good people, do good things. Well, where's the learning then? Where's the practice?
Mm.
You know, Sherry Huber, my wonderful Zen teacher and friend, said that's why we call it practice.
Yeah.
Because we're not meant to just be perfect and go to these things and read these books and just be these. We'd be so bored if everybody was like that, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. There'd be nothing fun to grow and learn about, right?
Yes, or complain and be crabby and mad about.
Exactly.
And then write mad pages.
There we go. You know, we've got just a couple minutes left, and I know you mentioned earlier that you had a song. I don't know how long the song is.
Oh, it's very short.
Okay, good. Maybe we can do the song and then start to wrap things up here.
Oh, good. Okay. Are you ready?
Absolutely. Whenever you are.
It goes like this. It was, by the way, created in the 1950s. And I'm bringing it back.
Good.
I love myself. I think I'm grand. I go to the movies just to hold my hand. Me, me, me. I. Me, 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 me. I.
All right. Yay. I love that.
And also consider saying to people, and when they ask how you are, say, I'm so in love with myself.
Wow. I love that.
And if you're not, if that feels too scary, say to them, tell me how well you're loving yourself.
Mm.
And give them a chance to tell you.
Yeah.
People love it. I asked my mailman the other day, and he put down the mail. He was like, oh, I love that you asked me that.
Yeah. What a great conversation to engage in, you know, different than the one that we often engage in.
What are you doing?
Or not exactly. What are you doing? What's going on? Can you believe X and Y and Z and, you know, all that stuff? Well, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm so grateful that you've taken some time here to, you know,
Mike, I love your show. It's so great.
Thank you very much. It's
and you're really great at it.
Oh, well, I appreciate you saying that.
I'm not just saying it.
Yes. Thanks for noticing, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah. I mean, interviewing and having a conversation and being real, that's an art.
Mm.
And, you know, after 25 years of being on shows, I can tell you that you're exceptional.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. And
I know everybody listening appreciates it.
Yeah, well, you know, my father, who we mentioned a few different times, was in radio for much of his life, so I feel a nice, sweet connection with
him
when I'm sitting
here.
Oh,
I forgot that. I love that.
So thank you for sharing about Glad for Grief. And, you know, please, everyone, go to planetsark.com, check out Sark's amazing books and work, and check her out in Kansas
City. Oh, yeah,
and
they can call, absolutely free, they can call the Inspiration phone line.
Oh, yeah, the Inspiration phone line, 415-546-3742. That was one of my other initial connections with you, Sark. So thank you so much for being on the show, and thanks, everyone, for listening. You've been listening to Let's Get Real with Mike Robbins. As always, you can stay in touch with me at my website at mike-robbins.com, and make it a fantastic day.
Please visit www.mike-robbins.com.
Do we forget or forget? There's a whole lot of life waiting to live. One day we're brave enough, tough with conviction.